Please be seated. I welcome everyone here this morning in the precious name of Jesus. It remains the day the Lord has made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it. This morning, in our month of supernatural supplies, above only in supernatural supplies, I decree that it shall be real in your life. The type of supplies you have never seen before, you shall see. Speaking on dimension and channel of the habit. Dimensions and channels of the habit. Our objective is twofold. First of all, we'll start with dimensions, understanding dimensions of people. And then we'll understand dimensions and channels of the harvest. We'll understand dimensions of giving and then dimensions and channels of the harvest. Understanding dimensions of giving, understanding dimensions and channels of the harvest. Joel chapter 3 and in verse 13. He said, Joel. Put ye in the sickle, for the harvest is ripe. The A part. Come, get ye down. Put ye in the sickle. That's all right. For the harvest is ripe. Whenever the harvest is ripe, it is time to put in the sickle. Now, two things I want to say by way of introduction. First, that God is a rewarder of both the diligent seeker and the diligent sower. It's a reward. It's a reward of both the diligent seeker and the diligent sower. Hebrews chapter 11 and in verse 6, the Bible says, but without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Genesis 8:22. While the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest, and cold and heat, and summer and winter, and day and night shall not cease. If there is a seed time, God is duty bound to ensure that there is a harvest time. Psalm 126 and in verse 5. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. If there is a sowing, God is committed to ensure that there is a reaping. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6 to 7. But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly. He which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. God is committed to the harvest if we are committed to the sowing. In Acts chapter 20 and in verse 35, he said, I have showed all things. How that so laboring, 35, how that so laboring? You ought to support the weak and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. Somebody say amen. There is the blessing in the giving heavier than the receiving. So God is a rewarder of the diligent seeker
and the diligent sower. Secondly, it is not only important to be a good sower, it is vital to be a good reaper. There are many good sowers who fail to recognize how to reap. Jonah chapter 3 again, Joel chapter 3 again, verse 13. Put in the sickle, you have planted, you have given. 13a. For the harvest is ripe. So it's not only important to sow, it is important to reap. And it's important to know how to reap, or to know channels of reaping, or to know how the harvest comes. So we have two things we'll address this morning. First, dimensions of giving, or the basic giving types. And then second, dimensions and channels of harvest. So let's start. Basic giving types. Number one, free will offering. That is service offering. Exodus 23:14. Three times thou shalt keep a feast unto me in the year. 15. Thou shalt keep the feast of unleavened bread. Thou shalt eat unleavened bread 7 days, as I commanded thee in the time appointed of the month Abib. For in it thou camest out from Egypt, and none shall appear before me empty. Whenever it is you appear before me, don't appear before me empty. Deuteronomy chapter 16 verse 17. Deuteronomy 16, 17. He said, every man shall give as he is able, according to the blessing of the Lord thy God, which he giveth unto thee. In verse 16 earlier on, he said already, none shall appear before him empty. Now, Psalm 96 verse 8. Psalm 96 verse 8. He said, give unto the Lord the glory due to his name. Bring an offering as you come into his courts. Bring an offering as you come and come into his courts. Bring an offering and come into his courts and into his sanctuary. It's called free will offering. It's not a decision of man. It's a scriptural ordinance. In Mark chapter 12, verse 41, all the way to verse 44, the Bible said, and Jesus sat over against the treasury, and he beheld how the people cast money into the treasury, and many that were rich casting much. And there came a certain poor widow, and so on. So he was observing during the offering time. He sat there and observed how the people gave. That was how he noticed the poor widow that gave the widow's mite. So this is free will offering. We come, it's a service offering, it's a love offering, where we give to God in the course of service. That's number one. Now, I'm going to go through all of them in all the services using the second part of the scriptures for the next service. Number two, the tithes. The tithes. In Genesis 14:18-20, the Bible said concerning Melchizedek, king of Salem, prophet of bread and wine, and he was a priest of the Most High God. And he blessed him and said, bless thee, Abraham, of the Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth. And bless thee, the Most High God, which has delivered thine enemies into thy hand, and he gave him tithes of all. This was the first mention of the tithe in the scripture, and nobody told Abraham to tithe. It was his relationship with God and revelation that initiated the tithe almost 400 years before the law of Moses was given. So the tithe is beyond the matter of the law. It's a matter of the covenant. It's a matter of relationship. Malachi chapter 3 and verse 10, the Bible said, bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in my house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. And I'll rebuke the devourer for your sins, and he shall not destroy the fruit of your ground. This is the type We will not be able to go into all the benefits of these givings today, but we have preached other messages that deal with them, and you can know that each of them, they have their respective impact on the lives of the givers. That is the tithe in Hebrews chapter 7 and in verse 8. We saw how the tithe is not just a matter of the earth, but even there, he said, and here, men that die receive tithes, but there he receiveth them of whom it is witness that he liveth. Here on earth, men that die, that is mortal men, may receive your tithe, but there in heaven, he receiveth present continuous. He received, he is receiving, he will receive of whom it is witness that he liveth. That is the tithe. Number three is sacrifice. Sacrifice in Genesis chapter 8 and in verse 20 all the way to verse 22, the Bible said, and Noah builded an altar unto the Lord and took of every clean beast and of every clean fowl and offered burnt offerings on the altar. And the Lord smelled a sweet savour, and the Lord said in his heart, I will not again curse the ground anymore, for man's sake, for the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth. Neither will I again smite anymore everything living as I have done. While the earth remaineth, seedtime and harvest and cold and heat, summer and winter and day and night shall not cease. Sacrifice is that which you give literally beyond normal giving. In inconvenience, let's say, it costs you something. In Psalm 20 verse 1, all the way to verse 3, Psalm 20 verse 1, the Lord hear thee in the day of trouble. The name of the God of Jacob defend thee, and may he send you help from the sanctuary and strengthen you out of Zion. And then remember all your offerings and accept your burnt sacrifice. Right? So the sacrifice is something that gives you a memorial before God. An altar of sacrifice is an altar of remembrance before God. This is sacrifice. Something that is given that costs you something. It's not the regular. It's not what you do all the time. Offerings is what we do all the time. Tithe is when income comes. Sacrifice is what between you and God you decide to offer a sacrifice and to shift your life. Then we have projects given. Giving towards kingdom projects given. This is Exodus chapter 35 and in verse 9. Exodus 35, 29 rather. Exodus 35 and in verse 29. The children of Israel brought a willing offering unto the Lord. Every man and woman whose heart made them willing to bring for all manner of work which the Lord had commanded to be made by the hand of Moses. There was work to be done. There was construction going on. And the people were asked to bring, and they did bring for all manner of the work. In 1 Chronicles chapter 29 and in verse 3, all the way to verse 5, we saw the life of David. And moreover, because I have set my affection to the house of my God, I have of my own proper good of gold and silver, which I have given to the house of my God over and above all that I have prepared for the holy house. 3,000 talents of gold, the gold of Ophir, 7,000 talents of refined silver to overlay the walls of the houses withal. Keep going. Gold for the kings of gold, silver for the sins of silver, and for all manner of the work to be made by the hands of the artificers. And who then is willing to consecrate his service this day? David was recounting his giving to the building of the temple of Solomon. This is called projects giving. This is giving to enhance kingdom projects, kingdom constructions. We've seen people who took a whole building and took it from foundation to roofing on the behalf of God. We've seen people, in the course of this construction, did one thing or the other. Projects giving. Number five is outreach giving. This is more like outreach or soul winning seed. Whatever is given to bring in souls into the kingdom. In Zechariah chapter 1 verse 17. Zechariah chapter 1 verse 17. The Bible said, cry yet saying, thus saith the Lord of hosts, my cities through prosperity shall yet be spread abroad. That is, I empower my people with prosperity so that my cities, my kingdom, my the kingdom can spread on the wings of prosperity. And the Lord shall yet comfort Zion and shall yet choose Jerusalem. These projects and outreach are departments, if you wish, they are departments of sacrifice, but they are target specific. Zechariah 1:17. And then you have Luke chapter 1, 5, verse 1. This was where Peter handed over his shipping equipment to the master to help him preach. And it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret and saw two ships standing by the lake. But the fishermen were gone out of them, and they were washing their nets. And then he entered into one of the ships, that was Simon Peter's ship, and asked that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. That is, somebody made his livelihood available for the preaching of the gospel. When he was done, he said, launch your net into the deep for a drought. Verse 4, 5, 6. And he did that, and he enclosed a great multitude of fishes. This is given to make the preaching of the gospel to happen. Somebody say a loud amen. We just came back from Port Harcourt Crusade. I'm sure you'll see the clip right there. If you still have it, you can show clip. That was last weekend. And one person asked and he said, what is the bill for that crusade? Giving the bill, and that bill was handled at once. Just one transfer. The whole bill that covers TV advert, paying for stadium, covered bus transportation of people to the ground, covered every single thing. Apart from the stage that we took from here, and then the sound equipment and so on, every single thing else, you know, that is given for the sake of the spread of the gospel, and so on and so forth. We've had other places where things like this were done. So this is outreach given. Somebody may not be able to say, I take the whole crusade, but all right, I need, this is my giving towards the monthly crusades. We have Kaduna Crusade, we have London, England in April, we have Kenya, we have Ethiopia, we have, and so on and so forth. Outreach given. Somebody say a loud amen. Is anybody getting anything at all? Number 6 is less privileged. Giving or giving to the less privileged. I am avoiding the use of the word poor, right? I'm avoiding the use of that word. Less privileged giving. Less privileged. In Proverbs chapter 19, verse 17. Proverbs 19 and in verse 17. He that has pity upon the poor, lendeth unto the Lord. And that which he has given, will he pay him again. He has pity on the poor. He is only borrowing God money. God will pay him back, and God will pay you, of course, with interest. Psalm 41, verse 1 to 3. Psalm 41, verse 1 to 3. The Bible said, blessed is he that considereth the poor. The Lord will deliver him in time of trouble. The Lord will preserve him and keep him alive. He shall be blessed upon the earth. And thou will deliver him. Thou will not deliver him unto the will of his enemies. The Lord will strengthen him upon the bed of languishing. Thou will make all his bed in his sickness. Meaning, when he falls sick, you ask him, get up, let me make your bed. You are not permitted to lie there. Giving to the less privileged, people that are lower than yourself, that are dressed in need, especially in the times we are in right now. People are looking for food to eat, stranded people, people's children who cannot pay accommodation, parents who can't pay accommodation for their children, people struggling pay school fees, and so on and so forth. You can do it directly. You can also label it and put it through the church. We have a welfare outreach that ministers to the less privileged every month, every single month. People are empowered, sewing machines, and so on and so forth. Empowered with bakery equipment, so on and so forth. So, less privileged giving, it has its own impact. What do you do? All right, let's finish and then we'll come. And then, number 7 is priestly or prophets giving. Priestly. In Matthew chapter 10, verse 41, Matthew chapter 10, verse 41, the Bible said, he that receiveth a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward. And he that receiveth a righteous man in the name of a righteous man shall receive the righteous man's reward. In 1 Kings chapter 17 verse 13, we saw how Elisha and the widow of Zarephath, how the woman was stranded and looking for what to eat, and by the instruction of the Lord, the woman was given the direction, make me thereof a little cake first and bring it unto me, and after make for thee and for thy son. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. And it was so, according to the saying of the man of God. That's an example of a giving to a priest or a prophet. In 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 11, he said, if we have sold unto you spiritual things, is it a great thing if we shall reap your, call it material things? Another translation will say that. And then jump to verse 7 to 10. Previous 7 to 10. 7 to 10. And unto the married, 9, 7 to 10. Who goeth the warfare anytime at his own charges? Who planted a vineyard and eateth not of the fruit thereof? Or who feedeth the flock and eateth not of the milk of the flock? He said, say I these things as a man, or say not the law the same also? He said, for it is written in the law of Moses, thou shalt not muzzle the mouth of the ox that treadeth out the corn. Does God take care of the ox for the oxen? Or saith he altogether for our sakes? For our sakes, no doubt this is written, that he that ploweth should plow in hope, and that he that treasureth in hope should be a partaker of this same hope. If we have sown unto you spiritual things, is it a great thing if we reap, call it again, natural things? That was Paul the Apostle asking the question of the Corinthian church. Now, Genesis chapter 12, and in verse 2 to verse 3, he said, and I'll make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless, verse 3 now, and I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. Somebody say aloud, amen. So this is the priestly giving. This priestly giving, I put it number last, because of the tendency of misunderstanding, and because of the preaching of it, that will make it look like somebody is asking people to give them. Alright? Now, I want to make it very clear. This is done of a person's volition. We have only one place in scripture where the prophet asked directly to be given. That was the widow of Zarephath. One place that is asked, give me first. And he did that in order to rescue the woman from perishing. So asking to be given is not the rule. Am I communicating? Anytime you see any pastor, prophet, or priest asking you, bring me money, that is an indication not to give. This is done of a man's volition. As the Lord leads you, as you feel led in your heart, that this person is a blessing to my life, and I want to connect to that blessing, it is possible. But where you see someone in the name of a priest come to your pastor, probably say, the Lord say you should give me your car. Tell him God said I should not give you. I decided to clarify this, and I'm saying this, and I'm happy because all of us are connected worldwide hearing this. Nobody should use the name of priest or pastor to oppress you, to give you what you are not willing to give. Priest or pastor, whatever, told a woman, he said, the Lord says you sow seed. That is so sick to me. He said, okay, I'll give you 100,000. He said, no, the Lord says it's too small. That is fraud. Am I communicating? That is fraud. You are not. I mean, he said, every man according as he purposeth in his heart. 2 Corinthians chapter 9 verse 7. Look at it. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart. Not according as he is pressured to do. So let him give. Not grudgingly.
or under pressure. For God loveth a cheerful giver. Somebody say aloud, amen. Please, I want to make that very, very clear. And I believe that there will be no reason for misunderstanding this at all. In Jesus' precious name. Give the Lord the praise and take your seat. There is one more that people, not everybody practices it, but it is there. And it's called the first fruit. First fruit giving. I'll just mention it. He mentioned about it. In Proverbs, Proverbs chapter 3 and in verse 9 to 10. Proverbs chapter 3 and in verse 9 to 10. He says, honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. Thy barns shall be filled with plenty. The first fruit. The first fruit. I've demonstrated the first fruit before. It's a bit different from the tithe. The tithe is, I'll use two ways to explain. The tithe is, I got 100,000. 10% of it is 10,000. That is tithe. There are two ways of first fruit, and depends on the leading of individuals. First way is when somebody says, this is my first salary, and I want to give it to God. That's first fruit. Another way is, I just got a salary increase. I was receiving 100,000 before, and now they have increased my salary to 120,000. That the first fruit is actually the increase. The increase, what came new. So if it was 100,000 before, and I'm now paying 120. What is the increase? 20. Right? There are those who feel like, I will just give the whole of the new salary to God. That's your decision. But the first fruit is actually the first increase that steps into your hand. And you give it of your volition and according as you feel led to do and the direction in which you intend to give it. That is the first fruit. Again, when the first fruit steps into, I'll talk that in the pastor's meeting so that we don't have. So this is the first fruit given. So we have all of these givings itemized. Again, all is according to your volition. And you can identify what I do as a person is that I have a budget for each of these givings. A percentage. I started with a certain percent. The free will and all of that, the tithe and so on. Tithe is fixed and so on. Such that you don't have to think when something enters your hand. It is going in the direction it goes, and you can increase it as the Lord blesses you. Now, having said all of that, let us go into dimensions of harvest. Because it is important to know, if my harvest is coming, how do I recognize dimensions or channels of harvest? Number one, open heavens over lives and endeavors. Open heavens. That's the channel. What is the meaning of that? Malachi chapter 3 verse 10 to verse 12, he said, bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse that there may be meat in my house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing that there shall not be room enough to receive it. Open heavens. What is the meaning of this? This is how I want to explain it. It is experiencing results beyond the scope of earthly conditions and circumstances. When God decides to open the heavens over a person's life, it causes you to experience results beyond the scope of earthly conditions and circumstances. What is prevailing on the earth, especially in the earth we are living now, both in this country and globally, that I can cause you to see things that is beyond what you normally expect to see. Two examples. Isaac in the land of the Philistines. Genesis 26 verse 1 to verse 3. There was famine in the land. Beside the first famine that was in the days of Abraham. And Isaac went unto Abimelech, the king of the Philistines, unto Gerar. And the Lord appeared unto him and said, go not down into Egypt, dwell in the land which I shall tell thee of. Sojourn in this land, and I will be with thee, and I will bless thee, for unto thee and unto thy seed I will give all these countries. Verse 12, and Isaac sold in that land. The same land that people were perishing, he sold in that land and received in the same year 100-fold, and the Lord blessed him. Keep going. And the man was great and went forward and grew until he became very great. For he had possession of flocks and possession of herds and a great store of servants. And the Philistines envied him. He was experiencing results that was beyond the scope of the prevailing condition. Everybody was in famine, but his case was different because he existed under open heavens. Also, example of Joseph in Potiphar's house. Joseph in Potiphar's house. In Genesis chapter 39 verse 2 all the way to verse 5. Genesis 39, 2 all the way. And the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man, and he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. And his master saw that the Lord was with him, and the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand. And Joseph found grace in his sight, and he served him and made him overseer over his house. And all that he had, he put into his hand, verse 5. And it came to pass from the time that he had made him overseer in his house and over all that he had, that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. And the blessing of the Lord was upon all that he had in the house and in the field. Everything. You see, this was a slave that was prospering in a strange land by virtue of the working of the covenant. I see God doing that for somebody. If you believe that, say loud amen. Can that amen be louder? In this season, when men say they are cast down, you shall be saying there is a lifting up. Shout the loudest. Amen. Number two, blessing of the work of hands. Channel. Blessing of the work of the hands. Deuteronomy chapter 28 and in verse 8. The Bible said, the Lord shall command the blessing upon thee in thy storehouses and in all that thou settest thine hand unto. And he shall bless thee in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. The blessing of God is looking for the work of your hands. I want to say this and I don't want you to forget it. The blessing of the Lord is looking for the work of your hands. God bless me. Listen, there is a limit to the blessing of salary. God bless me. They increase your salary by 50,000, by 20,000. God bless me. They increase your salary again. When there is a work of hands. And if you are a salaried person, I am not necessarily asking you to resign. No. I am asking you that in addition to that salaried work you are doing, if there is something that money can be put into for multiplication. While you do that, don't become unfaithful to where you collect your basic salary, except you want to resign. Is there a balance? So you remain very, very faithful to your regular duty, but if you really, really want to explode beyond limitation, give God work of hands. And even if you don't have the work of hands, you can invest where there is a work of hands. That's why investment, and I'm not talking of all the bring 10 naira to multiply to times 3 every month. That's not what I'm talking about. Times 10 every month. That is a bonsai scheme. Pyramidal scheme. And all that. That's not the type I'm talking about. But God will just, you see, where there is the work of hand, you take one step and God give you the result of 1,000 steps.
All of a sudden. If you are a covenant practitioner, a tither, a giver, and you are able to present God with work of hands, then you have presented Him opportunity for harvest. I announce to somebody here today, everyone who is a hard worker that is experiencing any limitation, today the limitation is over. Blessing of the work of the hands. Number four. See, 4:3. Divine ideas, inspiration, and wisdom. Divine ideas, inspiration, and wisdom. And I'm talking about wealth-generating ideas. Wealth-generating inspiration. That is, God may say, this my child, always faithful in giving, in tithing, in this and that. Let me drop this idea in your mind that you will pursue to become an effortless billionaire. Genesis chapter 30, verse 37. That was the kind of idea that Jacob used in the house of Laban. And Jacob took him rods of green poplar and of the hazel and chestnut tree, and peeled white streaks in them, and made the white appear which were in the rods. Long story made short, the man exploded in verse 43 of Genesis chapter 30. And the man increased exceedingly, and had much cattle, and made servants, and men servants, and camels, and asses. By one idea, he exploded. That is divine idea. Example number two, Solomon. 1 Kings chapter 10, verse 23 to verse 25. So King Solomon exceeded all the kings of the earth for riches and for wisdom. And all the earth sought to Solomon to hear his wisdom, which God had put in his heart. And they brought every man his present, vessels of silver and vessels of gold and garments and an armor and spices, horses and mules, a rate year by year. Somebody say aloud, amen. I prophesy upon somebody here, the kind of ideas, the kind of inspiration that will change your life completely. I declare their release now. How many of us know that some of the world's greatest billionaires are ideas driven? If you go to social media and all of that, you see a lot of people who brought certain ideas on how some people just place their picture on, you know, all manner, and before you know it, everything exploded. I believe that the world is ruling because the people of God have not decided to take their place. I say it all the time. In every generation, the most impactful and influential are designed to be the people of the kingdom. Look at the time of Abraham. Look at the time of Isaac. And all the times, you see them. This is divine ideas, inspiration, and wisdom. Anybody getting anything here, say aloud, amen. Number four is divine. Your harvest can come as an idea that will explode you into resources. Number four is divine favor and opportunity. God will bring the favor and an opportunity that will be His reward or return to your kingdom effort, opportunity. God releasing favor on you that makes you take possession. In Deuteronomy chapter 33 and in verse 23, he said, and of Naphtali he said, O Naphtali, satisfied with favor and full of the blessing of the Lord, possess thou the west and the south. When you are satisfied with favor, all you do is to take possession of what is yours. And in the land of Egypt, I'll look at something in the second service. What are the things that made Joseph in Egypt was favor? Acts chapter 7, verse 10. Acts chapter 7. Favor gave Joseph the whole of Egypt. He said, and God delivered him, he's talking about Joseph, out of all his afflictions, and gave him favor and wisdom in the sight of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. And he made him governor over Egypt and all his house. Favor is the harvest. God opened the door opened an opportunity that your money couldn't have opened, that nothing could have opened. It's a harvest. Number five is restoration of lost things and years. God can make what the enemy took from you before to return as your harvest, portion of your harvest. God bringing back into your life what the enemy took previously from your life. Yes. I'm one of those who believe that nothing is too lost to be found in God. Restoration of lost years. John chapter 2, verse 25. And he said, and I will restore to you the years that the locust has eaten, the cankerworm, the caterpillar, and the palmer worm, my great army, which I sent among you. I'll restore. I'll bring back. There's somebody here God is talking to. What you think has left you is lost. It's not lost. I announce today it is returning back. It is returning back. They are returning back. They are returning back. Shout the loudest. Amen. In Exodus chapter 12 and in verse 36, Israel spent 400 years in Egypt. Their fathers labored without pay. When God decided to pay them in one day, he paid them the arrears of 400 years of labor. They emptied Egypt. They emptied Egypt. They emptied Egypt. Exodus 12 and in verse 36. And the Bible said, and the Lord gave the people favor. Favor came again in the sight of the Egyptians, so that they lent unto them such things as they required, and they spoiled. Spoil means empty. They took the spoil of Egypt. They emptied Egypt practically in one day. That was what they used to build the tabernacle in the wilderness. That was necessary throughout the wilderness. Listen, my brothers and my sisters, in your covenant world, God is going to pay you what the devil took from your father. I may not be talking to everybody, but I'm talking to somebody here. God is going to cause the systems to, is going to put systems under pressure to release for you what the devil took from your father and your father's house and your lineage. The labor of your mother is not going to go in vain. God is going to release the harvest back to you. You are saying amen. Shout the loudest amen. Shout the loudest amen. Shout the loudest amen. Look at your number, say, get ready, get ready, get ready, get ready for the harvest that is coming your way. Get ready for the harvest that is coming your way. Get ready for the harvest that is coming your way. Give the Lord a big clap and a shout out, pray. Take your seat. Is anybody receiving something here today? Is anybody enjoying this stuff? Finally, number six, I call this divine orchestration and transfer of resources. Or transfer of resources. When God decided to orchestrate and transfer resources to you as your harvest, there is no scripture that captures it aptly, like Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 10, all the way to verse 12. And it shall be, when the Lord thy God shall have brought thee into the land, which he sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give thee great and goodly cities, which you did not build, and houses full of good things. The house was built. The house was completed. The house is finished. The house is furnished. And is handed over to you, which you did not fill. Wells digged. Which you did not dig. What is the equivalent of digged well today? Borehole. And olive trees, which thou plantest not, when thou shalt have eaten and be full, then beware in case you forget the Lord your God, which brought you out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. Do you understand what I'm saying? Where a house is full that you did not build or feel is handed over to you. It can happen in various ways. House worth 150 million. Where someone says, whatever you have, bring. He said, why are you saying so? He said, I really like you. Or something is telling me, and that something is the Holy Ghost, to just hand this thing over to you. I just want you to drop something. It's just that I don't want to give it free of charge. You can drive car from car shop with 1,000 naira. I'm talking from experience. But while I was a medical doctor, you know. Are you hearing what I'm saying here today? You can step into a house that is under divine orchestration. We talk about the mystery of supernatural wealth transfer. But God is an orchestrator. The young man submitting under the cover of this commission came here the other day and was telling me how a house that has reached a lintel level in this a highbrow area was given to him. Is it 5 million or 6 million or 10 million? I told him, I said the land alone there should be up to 50 million or 20 something million. Alone. He has almost finished the house to move him. And he came to town newly. Don't keep up. Many of us are looking for harvests of raw cash. If God gave you a property of 150 million for 50 million, he has dashed you 100 million without your notice. That is, you just got a harvest of 100 million. He gave you a car that others buy for 50 million. And they just sent it to you like that. So all you need, just do custom clearance. And you did that for a few, thousand. And I am not just preaching. I am prophet preaching. I am prophesying. Somebody get ready, because this week, this particular week, this final point that I mentioned shall happen to you. If you are saying amen, stand on your feet and shout the loudest amen. Stand on your feet and shout the loudest amen. Give him a bigger clap and a louder shout of amen. Hallelujah. Beloved, if there is any time to hold on to the covenant, it is a time of scarcity, the time of shortage, the time where the systems of the earth are unreliable. Some years ago, billionaires got wiped out of the world's billionaires list. Some committed suicide. Was it 2016? I can't remember the year. Crashed to zero because the system of the earth is subject to failure. Some people say there are people who don't do any covenant practice or work with God, but they have some resources. Number one, they cannot guarantee the future of these resources. Number two, their eternal destiny is in total jeopardy. What shall it profit a man against the whole world and lose his soul? We are talking about the kind of wealth of Job. Integrity, with prosperity, with a guarantee of eternity. And there are so many people who have allegiance to all manner of altars. It's not written on their forehead. Some are deep in Satanism. Let me tell you something. There is a limit to which hard work will take a man. But in certain realms, there is something you bow for. Jesus said, Satan told Jesus, bow for me, and I will give you the whole world and all his glory. When you see people who seem to own the world and his glory, and they are not connected to God, there is something they are bound for. So that you don't feel deceived. Many people don't talk about it. They won't talk about it. Their connection. I heard of a billionaire, a world billionaire, all of you know him. When they were talking about God and worshipping God and so on, he said he doesn't believe in God or heaven. He said in case if there is hell, he doesn't mind going there because that hell would be very interesting. Because it means, it, from what he's seen, it's like the majority of the people will go to hell. So it's better to go where more people are. That's a celebrated billionaire globally. Talking like that. Do you understand what I'm talking about? That is directly or indirectly communicating where their allegiances are, where they have bowed for. So you don't use people who don't know God and know that, whether they are this successful. You don't use them as an example of nothing. Because you don't know the altars behind their glory. 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 But there is a glory that is superior to glory. And that is the glory, the one that came from above. The glory that Abraham walked in. The glory that Isaac walked in. The glory that Job walked in. The glory that all of these people walked in. Say a loud amen. Say a louder amen. Say a louder amen. That is why it is critical to walk in the covenant. Because the covenant is our covering. Say a louder amen. Somebody bless. Hallelujah. Is somebody blessed at all? I feel like jumping. I feel like running. I feel like shouting and screaming. Because something just happened here to somebody. A change of story. A change of story. Well, use the next 3 minutes and let's pray briefly. Lift your hands to your voice and say, Father. Lift your hands, lift your voice, say, Father. Thank you for your word.
Thank you for your word.
Thank you for your goodness.
Thank you for your goodness.
Thank you for your faithfulness.
Thank you for your faithfulness.
Thank you for your mercy.
Thank you for your mercy.
Be glorified, Lord. In the name of Jesus. Say, Father, thank you for the provision, for supernatural supplies. Be glorified in Jesus' name. Lift your voice and speak to God. Your provision for supernatural supplies. Your provision for supernatural supply. Your provision for supernatural supply. Thank you for your provision for supernatural supply. In the name of Jesus, we need the grace, we need discipline and faithfulness in the practice of the covenant.
Yes, sir.
So that you can see the good. When you see the goodness of God, the faithfulness, it will shock you. That grace
that discipline, that faithfulness to walk in what is expected of me, want to ask for it. Lift your hands and say, Father, I receive the grace, the discipline, and the faithfulness to walk in the practice of the covenant. I receive that grace, that discipline, and the faithfulness to practice the covenant of supernatural supplies. I receive it now. Go ahead and speak to God. Open your mouth. In the name of Jesus, so shall it be. Lift up your two hands everywhere you are and receive something this morning. I see fresh mantle of supernatural supply. I see God giving divine ideas. Fresh mantles of favor. And I see a new season. A new wave of kingdom millionaires and billionaires. Multi-millionaires of the kingdom. That will have enough resources to use to persecute the kingdom of darkness. More financial role models from the church. Financial role models from the church. That people of the world can look at and say, oh, this man is serving God and is not wretched. Amen. I want to serve that God. Amen. Lift your two hands. It is a glory. When we say the glory of God, inside the glory is the wealth of God. Did you hear that? For my God shall supply all your need according to what? Riches in glory. The silver is mine. The gold is mine. The glory of this latter house shall be greater than of the former. Inside his glory is his wealth. Lift your hands and just receive an impartation of that glory right now.
put your hands everywhere.
Hosanna. Hosanna, Hosanna. Blessed. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hosanna. Hosanna. Mashada galagaya. Hosanna, Hosanna. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Get your hands everywhere you are. Mahashadagayalalala. When I say in the name of Jesus, you scream glory at the top of your voice. Place your hand on your head and begin to blast in tongues like never before. Father, let your glory fall. Let your glory fall. Glory in all realms. Glory in supernatural supplies. Glory, glory, glory. And as this glory is released, I declare the battle over your business is over. The battle over your finances is over. The battle over the work of your hands, over. In the name of Jesus, are you ready? Lift your hands up and scream glory. When I say the name of Jesus, 1, 2, 3, scream glory. And place your hand on your head. Father, let the glory fall. In the name of Jesus, 1, 2, and 3. Pray. So glorious in your way. You are glorious, Lord. So glorious. Of your glory. Father, we give you the praise. Father, we give you the honor. Father, we give you the adoration. I believe that something broke just now. I believe that embargoes were lifted just now. I believe that somebody's life just opened up right now. I decree today the grace and the discipline to walk in this covenant is released upon you. I prophesy, open heavens over your life. In the name of Jesus, everything you have laid your hands to do, I declare power for success be released. Divine ideas, divine wisdom is your portion. Favor like never before. This message will answer drastic this week. Restoration of all the enemy took from your life. I declare it right now. And may Jehovah orchestrate things, events, to cause you to step into things where you bestowed no labor. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Stretch your two hands in front of you. I prophesy upon your hands. I declare that the systems are put under pressure. They lose their peace and sleep and rest until what is yours enters your hands. In the name of Jesus, you will not fail and you will not falter. In Jesus' precious name. Give the Lord the praise. Take your seat. I know there are testimonies. Somebody is healed of an anal condition. I declare that healing established in the name of Jesus. That migraine condition, I declare it gone forever in the name of Jesus. That chest and back condition is healed. And that spiritual affliction is over. Rise and crash is over. Near success syndrome is over. Financial limitation is broken in the name of Jesus. Anywhere you are this morning, we're about to give our offerings and tithes and pledges to God. And I encourage you to go in line with the script, with the things you heard. Those locations where constructions are going on,
In fact, something is going on almost all the time in everywhere. Ensure that you align, because the season of building is a season of prosperity. The people builded and prospered, according to the book of Ezra and in chapter 6. The Lord bless you in this season, in the name of Jesus Christ. Say a louder amen. Say the Lord most amen. Everyone who is in need of surrender to Jesus, you are in need of forgiveness for your sins. You know that God is not happy with you, the way you have lived, and you are saying, Pastor, I need to hand over my life to Jesus. Wherever you are, pick your Bibles, pick your bags, and rush to the front here. The first thing God wants to do with you is not your money. He doesn't want your money before your soul. He wants your soul. He wants your life. He wants your soul. He wants all of you. I am tired of living as a sinner. I want to be a genuine Christian. I don't just want to be a churchgoer. I want to be born again. I want to be saved. I want to be free. Step forward here as I give you the count of 7. 1. Take me, Lord, and use me. 2. Everywhere you are, come forward. 3. There's one reason. What I want to do. Five. I have just one life to live, and it must glorify you. I am yours for all the time, and for all eternity. I have just one life to live, and it must glorify you. I am yours, O Lord, in time and for all. Give the Lord a big clap and a loud shout of praise. You are still on your seat, maybe bound by an addiction, smoking, drinking, womanizing, masturbation, stealing, fraud, gambling. Something somewhere that God is not happy with, and you want that yoke broken. Stand up on your feet. I'll give you another count of 7. Rush forward here. God bless you. 1. 2. 3. Quickly come forward. 4. 5. 6. And 7. I love you, Lord. I love you, Lord. You mean so much to me. So much to me. I love you. Place your hand on your chest and pray this prayer after me and say, Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner in need of your help. Come into my life and make me a new person. Today I have decided to follow you, Lord. No turning back. Forward ever. Backward never. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen. I pray for you today. I declare the hold of sin broken. Grace to live for God is released upon you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Father, I pray for them again. Deliver them from the power of sin. Give them the grace to live for you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Please lower that sound a bit.